Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Undisputed Podcast of the World.
Ding, ding, ding.
I am your host, Trebuchet, alongside my co-host, Chad Showtime Schultz. How's it going?
It's going all right, man. We got the old two-man booth today.
Two-man booth, classic. We're just JR and the King out here today. That's what we're doing. So let's just jump into Monday Night Raw. Did you watch it this week, Showtime?
I saw a little bit of it.
You saw bits and pieces of it?
Yeah.
What'd you think of this show here?
Roman Reigns suspended this week, right?
Roman Reigns is suspended this week. He got mad because Brock Lesnar was a no-show.
Yeah.
Like, the show opened up with Kurt Angle announcing that he wasn't there, and then Roman comes out and just pretty much says this is exactly what he was talking about. Brock does what he wants, and then he apparently blamed Vince McMahon for the whole thing and went back to gorilla position where Shane McMahon was sitting, which they didn't say very much, and then Vince was sitting there as well. Mm-hmm. And they go to commercial, and then they're back in Vince's office, and we find out that Roman's suspended.
Yeah, Roman kind of storms out, and Ms. May cuts a promo talking about how, you know, yes, Brock Lesnar gets special treatment.
Yep.
But, you know, he's earned that, and that he says that he promises Brock Lesnar will be next week on Raw, and also says that he was forced to sell Roman Reigns something that his cousin used to say, know your damn role and shut your damn mouth.
Shut your mouth! Love it. Yeah, using The Rock's words against him. That's one of my favorite things from this Raw.
Roman Reigns suspended indefinitely.
Ooh, no, he'll be back for WrestleMania.
Oh, sure.
I'm sure he will be, because that's the way the wrestling franchise works. But, yeah, that happened.
You ever notice that whenever they need a guy to get over real bad, Vince just tries to turn him into Stone Cold?
Yeah, no, it's like their formula. Like, just turn him on the boss.
Yeah.
Because Vince was very hated back in the day. Vince had a ton of heat on him, and it worked back in the day. Like, if you feuded with the McMahons, like, you were just hated forever and ever. Now, you can be associated with the McMahons still, and still be kind of a face.
Yeah.
So, it is what it is. John Cena was on Raw this Monday, and he called out The Undertaker, baby. That's what he did right there. And apparently, like, this is going to happen at WrestleMania. All signs
I can't imagine it couldn't. All the signs at this point, I don't know.
Especially with Kid Rock going into the WWE Hall of Fame, all signs are pointing to the American Badass Undertaker rolling down that aisle and last riding John Cena at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I guess if it has to happen, that's what I'd want it to happen.
Well, we're going to save time on him coming down to the ring alone. Like, that's 5 minutes right there, saved, just because he's on the motorcycle. That's fine. I'm cool with that. And the American Badass Undertaker didn't really have to move and jump over the top rope as much as, like, you know, the Dead Man Undertaker did.
He definitely wrestled two distinct styles.
Yeah, it was more striking. And I feel like if, like, cause I didn't want them to bring the Undertaker back, but they're going to. If they're going to do it, they might as well do it this way. It's smart on their end, but I don't like it. I don't like that the fans cheer when Cena call out The Undertaker. I don't want to see The Undertaker this year because it's just, it's hurting his legacy. It's not helping it. That's my opinion on the matter.
Yeah, I didn't need to see him back or even want to see him back, but I feel like being the American Badass maybe protects the persona of The Undertaker a little bit.
A little bit.
I'm watching, you know, Raws from the past, and I'm seeing The Undertaker kind of come up doing the American Badass thing. And I liked that character a lot.
I liked that character too. I really did. It's for it to be such a 180 to the other character that he was, like, to go from the Dead Man to Big Evil, the transition was amazing that it worked so well, because that he ended up tagging with Kane at one point during it. Mm-hmm. The Brothers of Destruction were a thing at the time. He was a dead guy who ended up becoming like a Hell's Angel, essentially.
Yeah.
Is what he turned into. And just wore bandanas and was kind of just like a biker dude who didn't take no shit.
Yeah, he was ruthless. He could just beat the tar out of people. Do you remember when Maven eliminated him from the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, didn't he? He almost did it a second year. I do remember that. I do remember Maven doing
they
that.
They take like 10 minutes on Undertaker just beating the shit out of him.
Yeah, I do remember that. That was Maven got some ass kickings, man. I don't feel like he deserved them, but I don't know a whole lot about the whole Maven story.
He wasn't great, but he was far from terrible either.
I feel like they really treated the tough enough people kind of like, you know, redheaded stepchildren. They just were like...
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with the way the boys perceived the tough enough guys.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean.
You come up, these guys spent years in the Indies and the territories, training and working, and now for 12 weeks we're going to take a kid that has no wrestling training. Mm-hmm. We're going to give him $1 million to be on our show as a wrestler. That doesn't... It can't sit well with everybody.
No, it can't. It's all like, well, what the hell have I been busting my ass
for this whole time? They're making a fraction of that for working way more.
They look at them like they're game show contestant winners, where essentially, like, some of those guys could go. Like, a lot of the guys from Tough Enough, like, who didn't win ended up being bigger stars than the people that actually won the thing.
Yeah, no, I don't think we've had really any successful Tough Enough winners.
No, I don't. I can't think of a
Maven
winner.
Maven won.
Maven was probably the most successful out of all of them.
Most successful just because he stayed around the longest. Mm-hmm. We had Miss Jackie won the year two with Linda Miles.
Okay, yeah. I remember that.
Year three was... I'm forgetting who year three was, so I'm pretty sure year four was Daniel Pewter, and that was Pewter the one that Miz was on.
Yeah. Yeah, so there was a couple of them, and it's interesting. We'll probably have a Tough Enough show in the future.
I think we should definitely do that. Yeah, I'll do a Tough Enough Diva Search show. How about that?
Yeah, let's do that. We'll do the first half Tough Enough, second half Diva Search, and that'll be a fun little show. Stay tuned to the Undisputed Podcast of the World. But back to Raw. I think... I should give it up for myself. Three claps here. 1, 2, 3 for saying that WWE does not care about tag teams at all. And the main event of Raw proved me right here because they had a battle royal to see who would be the number one contender for the tag team titles of Raw.
Yeah.
And Braun Strowman wins it.
Braun Strowman, no tag team partner.
One guy. Like,
I'm going to WrestleMania! And he throws the guy over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, like, I like the Braun Strowman character, don't get me wrong. It's cool to see him crush people and everything like that, but what does this say for tag team wrestling? Is it dead as far as the WWE goes?
I think the tag teams are putting on better matches now than they have in a long time. But yeah, Vince definitely likes his singles division over his tag division.
Easily. But I feel like he values the women's division over the tag division at this point.
I think there's going to be another renaissance in tag team wrestling here pretty quick.
I think there should be, because you're missing out. There's a lot of missed opportunities with lack of good tag teams, you know. You can, if a guy's weak in one area, you can put him with another guy who's good in that area, you know.
It's just a different style of wrestling, too. It breaks up the monotony of a million one-on-one matches a night.
It does. It gives you something.
It's got its own psychology to it.
It definitely does, because there's pretty much no managers in WWE anymore.
Yeah.
It's very few and far between. So tag team, like the New Day, is as close as you're going to get. You're having that other outside interference that, you know, ooh, anything can happen. This guy's going to get involved. Watch out for him. Like, it's a lost art, and I don't like it. And Braun Strowman winning this here is just spits in the face of tag teams in the WWE, like...
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with him. I don't know who the partner will be.
Are they going to give him a partner?
Yeah, they'll give him a partner.
I don't know. See, that's what I'm thinking. That's where I'm at. I'm like...
I'm fairly certain he's getting a tag team partner. I might think it would wind up being Elias. I think they like those two acts a lot. I think putting them together is something they would do.
I could see them doing that, considering Braun just destroyed him, like, so much here recently. Like, they have a thing for... having guys go at it and then putting them together. Look at the tag team champions right now.
Exactly.
Sheamus and Cesaro, they had the best of seven match.
Pleased about how they've turned out as a tag team. I was skeptical at first, but I think they've done a great job.
I feel like these two guys can make any angle work. Like, you know, you put them on one-on-one matches, they're fine. You put them in a tag team, they're fine. They can just get it done. These are two of the biggest workhorses in the WWE. Like, the product would not be the same without
them. Well, their styles are different, but they're similarly physical, but they move around a little differently.
It is
Smash
Mouth,
they're both very physical, but they're doing different things.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, the feats of strength that Cesaro does, and just, like, the agility of Sheamus, just for them to move like that, it's amazing.
I agree.
And so, it was just... I just want to get back to Shane McMahon being on Raw really quick. They really didn't mention much about that.
No, like, they just really were like,
ignore it.
Yeah, he's just
like, because I know the fans noticed it, because they were like, oh, Roman's in Gorilla, and they were not, that's what they were not expecting to see. You see Vince McMahon with a headset on, that's one thing, but to see Shane there and not Stephanie, it's like, yeah, oh, maybe we're not supposed to see this or whatever, and I just feel like it was, like, you know, a missed opportunity.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. It might have distracted from what they were trying to do, though, and that's get Roman over.
Well, I don't know. Well, and then on SmackDown, did you watch SmackDown?
I did not see SmackDown.
Shane said that he was stepping down as commissioner or GM or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's stepping down. This was his last thing. And he proceeded to get the shit kicked out of him by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. But that was before that, Shane put Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn in WrestleMania match against one another.
Okay.
And then they proceeded to just beat the living hell out of him. So I don't know if this was just, they're like, Shane's on his way out anyways. We can just leave him back there. We don't care. Or I don't know.
I think it might lead to something else. I think it's going to go somewhere. But
yeah, well, with them beating the crap out of Shane.
Well, that'll definitely go somewhere. But I think the Shane McMahon is, as an authority figure, I think that'll go somewhere else too. I wouldn't put it past WWE to have Shane McMahon and Vince McMahon versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I mean, Vince still owes Kevin one.
No, Shane actually talked about how this whole thing started with them headbutting Vince McMahon. So I could definitely see them getting Vince out there one more time, because that makes perfect sense. But the way that it looked on Raw, it looked like Shane was kind of, you know, watching his dad's back and everything, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, well, I'm going to give three claps to you, Showtime. 1, 2, 3 with the foresight there. Thank you. It happen, WWE. So, that was SmackDown.
We've got Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax for WrestleMania, I'm pretty sure. I'm ready to call it.
I am, too. Yeah, they pretty much, caught Alexa Bliss red-handed backstage talking to Mickie James about how she uses Nia and all that, and then Nia proceeded to overhear it and just...
Poor Nia.
She just really, really hates luggage, is what I learned about Nia Jax. Like, she must be a bear at the airport. Like, I never want to, like, be in, like, a TSA situation with Nia Jax around, because I just don't feel like that's going to go well.
Yeah, no, I imagine she probably does carry bags for people in real life, just because she's so much bigger, just like... If the girls need help, like, everybody give their bags to Nia, she can carry four times a weekend.
She was just like, bags, smash! I was like, holy shit. I think she actually ended up throwing some of the stuff at the camera guy. I'm like, I don't know if the camera guy just caught one or if that was just planned.
He's a camera guy in the women's locker room. You're supposed to throw things at him. He's weird.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay. I see what you're doing. But yeah, I'm ready to call that.
I think it'll be an okay match.
It'll be all right. It'll be a grudge match.
Two of them have wanted to fight each other for a while. I'm pretty sure, like, in real life.
They're good buddies. Very similar to the Kevin Owens Sami Zayn angle. Like, they're friends in real life, but they want to, like, light it up at WrestleMania with one another, because I feel like they do good work together. And it's you know, the size difference alone for Alexa and Nia makes people want to see it.
Yeah, I think it'll be a cool moment for Nia, too, winning the title.
I really want Nia to win the title here.
I think that'll be a WrestleMania moment for her, winning the title, wrestling her best friend.
Yeah.
Might, you know, play into the whole...
She's been in the freaking WWE for so long, I think this is just the payoff that she needs. This is a happy story.
Well, they can, you know, play off of the whole Samoan thing, you know, like, it's their destiny, and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's make it happen, WWE. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, then it was Charlotte Flair is definitely taking on Asuka now.
Yes,
and excited about this.
I think it'd be a good match.
I think so too. I feel like this is WWE's way of going, like, this is what you should have done with Goldberg. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, the streak versus the champion at the big pay per view is the way that the formula is supposed to work. And mm-hmm. I just feel like this is what they're doing. And Charlotte's got a legitimate shot to end the streak here. But
I think Charlotte is a believable person to end the streak. I don't think that'll happen. But I think if you're going to give anybody... If you're going to make anybody believable to do it, it'd be her.
I will be surprised if both Asuka and Shinsuke both win. I see one or the other. I don't see both.
I see both.
You see both?
I see both. In fact, my claim right now is that they will both win.
Okay. I see one or the other. I don't see both.
I don't think Asuka has... I think Asuka is guaranteed to win here. I don't have a doubt in my mind she's going to win. Shinsuke might lose to AJ Styles. I don't think he will, but I wouldn't be awestruck.
Was it you that told me that Shinsuke beat AJ in Japan?
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, yeah. So, like, based on that, like, AJ may win this match, you know. But this is all here, say, from the Undisputed Podcast at the World. Follow me at Trebuchet LOL. Follow him at Showtime Schultz. Because strap in, everybody.
How's our hunt for a lawyer going?
Still out there.
Still out there.
David Otunga.
Yeah.
Hit us up, man. We need a lawyer.
If you have a law degree,
yes,
and would like to represent a couple of shitheads for when we get sued by people for saying things we know nothing about, please hit us up.
This sounds like our Craigslist ad right here.
We don't have a lot of money, but we've got some stuff. We could offer our services.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we got, like, you know, bottles of water.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Lots of them in this room.
Absolutely.
Lots of bottles of water. I don't know if they're safe to drink. My throat keeps scratching. They'd be like, it could be mud water. I'll try it. Actually, this is the weirdest segue I think I've ever had. Thanks for the inspiration.
No problem.
Speaking of mud water, I'm in 2002 in Raw, Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
I go with the pay-per-views. Tommy Dreamer is doing his, like, do gross shit jackass gimmick. Do you remember that?
It was very short-lived, but I do remember that.
He'd do, like, vignettes where he'd, like, be brushing his teeth, and then he'd brush his dog's teeth with the same brush, and then brush his again.
Yeah, like, that was...
He drank The Undertaker's tobacco spit.
Back in that era, they were not afraid to do gross things. Well, even back before that, they were not afraid to go gross.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
It was very shock, jock, like... stuff. Like,
I think they were trying to capitalize on some Jackass fame there. Wasn't Jackass having a nice run in, like, the early 2000s?
It was huge.
The
Jackass movie was probably out during the time, I would assume.
Yeah, we've already got guys...
Viva La Bam was probably out.
We've already got guys jumping off of stuff. Like, the danger stuff is still there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, we could also get guys to do gross stuff. Like, that'll just appeal to, like, the man TV.
It's pretty much what it was. The male 18 to 35 demographic.
Yeah, it's the early 2000s. What can we get him to do to watch? Well, make him do something gross and guys will laugh at it.
Yeah, that's the way things were back then. I'm glad we don't do that as much.
Yeah, no, it's not good television.
I don't think so. I think it's just like...
Also coming up with that is, I'm about ready to... I'm pretty sure the Jeff Hardy versus The Undertaker... ladder matches coming up.
Ooh,
the one that was on Raw.
That was a good match.
That was one of my favorite matches. The match itself is fine. The story they tell in it is fantastic. I don't know the exact Raw to watch, but basically, it's undisputed the title. Undertaker's champ. Jeff Hardy is still, like, young, and basically, at one point, a few episodes early, he basically tells, like, Matt, like, you know, we're not living for the moment anymore. We're not, like... we're a bunch of, like, frauds. You know, so he decides he's gonna, you know, live for the moment by attacking The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And The Undertaker's just killing everybody. And so pretty soon, he has a match with them on Raw for the title. Match is good. Undertaker barely scathed, you know, beats on Jeff Hardy pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Hardy gets a few good shots in, but definitely, it's definitely The Undertaker's match.
Yeah.
But the story for me is what happens after the match. Because, Jeff Hardy is, you know, Jeff Hardy is, I think he catches, like, a choke slam off the ladder or something as, like, the last move of the match. Something pretty...
Yeah, it was either that or a last ride.
That might have been it.
I remember, yeah, definitely something off the ladder. I remember that being standout. And then
Undertaker, like, tries to leave with the belt, and Jeff Hardy gets on the mic, and, you know, like, you know, I'm still up, you know, you haven't beaten me, I'm still here, you know. Sounded dazed and confused. Undertaker gets in the ring, kicks the shit out of him again.
Yep.
But he eats another last ride. Undertaker goes to leave again. Jeff Hardy, who sounds like he's punctured a lung, I'm still standing, you son of a bitch. You haven't taken me off my feet. I'm still standing. He, like, falls against the ropes. With the ropes, I'm still standing.
Yeah. Comedic value.
And the Undertaker...
testicular fortitude.
The Undertaker gets back in the ring and goes to hit him again, and Jeff Hardy looks so pathetic, he just, like, stops.
It just slumps over. Just...
Undertaker, like, just, like, looks impressive. He raises his arm, gives him, like, a moment of, like, this kid earned my respect.
Like, okay... you're tough enough to be here. Like, it was kind of a, you know, you're one of the boys.
Yeah, it was a nice little rub for him, because they were getting ready to push him in a singles spot.
It really was, because Jeff Hardy was primarily known as, like, a tag team competitor.
He had never been a singles guy before that.
Yeah, like, and this was a good push for him to, you know, get that run, which ultimately led him to a WWE championship, I think.
No, he didn't win the title until long after.
No, that long eventually.
Oh, yeah, he did win it in the long run, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was years after that. I know that.
Yeah, like, he was starting to have some personal problems at that point.
Drugs
too.
And...
They, We're also at the point where Stone Cold just walked out of WWE.
Oh, man.
They're calling it the most controversial week in WWE history. Because on Raw, Vince McMahon beats Ric Flair to become full owner of the company.
Okay.
And then Stone Cold walked out that night.
Yeah.
And Shawn Michaels had just joined the NWO the week before.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now, was this the Raw where The Rock gives the
speech? So I'm like halfway through the episode at this point.
Yeah.
But I know he shows up. I've heard he shows up later in the economy. He cuts a promo on Austin.
It's an awesome promo. I don't know if you've seen it or not before, but
I haven't. But that's where I'm like halfway into the episode.
It's amazing. I'm just going to tell you that right now. It's amazing.
Yeah, I thought the Vince McMahon was a good one. He was using his Brett voice.
He was trying
to sound as diplomatic as he could, sad but stern, and he cracks the beer and puts it in the ring.
Yep, he definitely had an element of betrayal in his voice. Like, you know what I mean? Like
they kept every time they would say WWE, they would say the home that Austin built, like with it. Like anytime they'd mention the company, they'd point out that Austin had something to do with it being there.
Yeah, like, I mean, the only reason I know that they Stone Cold came back was because of JR.
Mm-hmm.
JR sat Vince McMahon and Stone Cold Steve Austin down, and I think it was like a hotel room or something, and they're either going to come to blows or they're going to hug it out here, and it ultimately ended in a hug, and we had that awesome WrestleMania 19 match with Austin and The Rock. History is made. But yeah, that Austin, like, may not have came back. I mean, it may not have gotten that second run with all the whats and all the the great moments.
So at this point, he no-shows Raw. See, it sounds like he had no-showed the Raw after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He wasn't pumped about his match with Scott Hall. Admittedly, it wasn't a great match. Mm-hmm. He says, you know, it's WrestleMania. He wanted to do more.
Right.
So he took the day after WrestleMania off. The day after WrestleMania, and I guess the fans were really pissed about it. Like, for some reason, that day after WrestleMania Raw crowd, that Austin wasn't there and he had been advertised, the fans were real up in arms about it, particularly.
Well, Austin was the guy at the time.
Yeah, like, he was still riding with that 90s,
right.
You know, being the main guy. But I guess Vincent said, you know, hey, he said he was burned out, and he goes, that makes sense. He came back the next week and everything's good. You know, things
mm-hmm.
happen.
Mm-hmm.
But then he no-shows Monday.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, and they said, like, we try to get all of him. He wouldn't talk to Austin. He wouldn't talk to JR.
Yeah.
And then when he finally talked to JR, he just said he was going home.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, JR sounds upset about it all, too.
No, JR definitely had hurt feelings about the whole thing. I feel like JR played the middleman here, like, the whole way through. Like,
yeah, I think it bothered JR, really, personally, because he and Austin are, like, best friends.
They're buddies. Like, that's no secret.
Austin was kind of having, like, a personal breakdown at that point.
His marriage with Deborah was at the time.
He actually had a domestic violence charge.
Yeah, he was.
And then they were getting divorced. I think he needed surgery or something.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly, and he wasn't happy.
It was not a good place for Stone Cold Steve Austin as a person. I know that.
So from what I understand is he wouldn't be back for a while, but I guess it was only about a month later where he and Vince worked it out.
Yeah.
Like, he part of working it out was I still need some time, so he didn't come back right away.
Right.
But I had heard that they weren't mad at each other for very long, that the situation had resolved itself off air long before it resolved itself on air.
That's cool. That's good to know.
It's, you know, I hear a lot of things about Vince McMahon, but those guys that it would be hard enough to call him loyal to every person he works with. I don't even know that's a reasonable thing he could be.
What, Vince McMahon?
Yeah.
But to
some of the top guys, your Austins, your Rocks, your Hogans, your Michaels, these guys have all put Vince through a lot.
Yes.
And I imagine if you were a lower Carter guy, he'd just tell you to go fuck yourself. But he puts up with so much from these guys because I think he feels a true sense of, like, loyalty to them because they helped him.
Okay.
Bret Hart is the glaring exception to that.
Mm.
But it seems like when Vince talks about having issues with Austin, he seems like a sad father.
Yeah.
More than he's really mad.
Yeah,
he was disappointed.
And we want
to do business again, and I'm willing to take this from you.
Yeah, like, it feels like it legitimately hurts Vince McMahon's feelings, and when that happens, he puts it into his character and he utilizes it on air, you know?
Yeah, it seems like he wants to make these things right with it. I would say that he feels he owes some of the top guys from the Attitude Era a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're the reason he's in
business. Well, the Undertakers, the Shawn Michaels, the guys that have been there through the whole thing, Triple H... Like,
So I would say he's not terribly loyal to all of his employees, but I feel like he's the kind of guy that would say, I owe Taker this, and I owe Michaels this, and I owe Austin this, because if it weren't for them, I would have gone bankrupt.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, I feel like Vince McMahon is a businessman first.
I agree.
Like, look at the Jeff Jarrett being brought back. Like, I'm sure, like, if you
that,
asked...
That one's weird for me.
If you asked Vince McMahon in the 90s if Jeff Jarrett would be in the Hall of Fame, he would have told you, hell no.
I wonder what he would have said in private.
And you think that
See, that's the thing. The Mr. McMahon character is way over the top in the 90s. But we didn't have such an open door into him as a real person.
So there wasn't Twitter or anything like that.
It's easy to believe that his character was who he was. I wonder if he's always kind of just been this... He's definitely like a jock.
He's got a soft spot.
He's like the jock, but I think he's like the jock's dad. You know, where he's older and he's wiser and he's all about getting buff and being tough and working out.
He's the cool dad.
He's all about, you know, athletes, but he also has that more like, you know, he
level of seriousness to him.
Yeah, an understanding that like he's not this roided out guy that's all testosterone and no wisdom. And at certain points when he was wrestling, it was easy to get the feeling that he wasn't a good businessman who's all ego-driven. And I would imagine there's a lot of ego to it. But I think Vince McMahon has to be a pretty great businessman to make the money he has.
Oh, yeah.
And the industries. And
to stay on top that long, you've got to be doing something, right? You got to know something.
He was cutthroat, but...
It's the business. Yeah, the question is. That's the way I feel about it.
They always go back and talk about how, you know, how the Ganyas and how, you know, the Jarretts wouldn't have done that in the territory age.
Yeah, that's you know, what they
like,
say.
Like, they would, but, like, they didn't have the power to.
Or the vision to do so either. Like,
if they ever thought for a moment they could do something big with a national territory. And had the finances to buy up all the other territories, or at least the stamina to take the time to choke them out of territories.
Yeah.
They'd have done it.
They would have loved to be number one and to be king of the mountain. Like, because professional wrestling, like it or not, is very ego-driven. Like, a lot of these companies, like, you know, the Jarretts are going to be your champions. Why? Because, like, they're invested in the company, and they're, like... nepotism like a mother out here, like that's just the way it was. Like,
yeah, I would, you know, that was definitely a problem with the territories. Or even if it wasn't nepotism, it was the promoter found a guy he liked. Mm-hmm. The guy did good business for him. The guy might even be a great wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
But he was championed so much, beating so many people, that you did get tired of him.
Yeah, that's fair. But all right, let's go back to the here and the now here showtime. Sure. We've talked a lot about WWE here. Let's switch over to Impact Wrestling. I took the bullet this week. I watched this craptastic show.
How was it?
Craptastic.
Tell me about it.
You missed so much and so little at the same time here, Shay.
I imagine that a lot of things happen and none of it is important.
Like, the OVE guy, fucking, he's there and the
we're talking Callahan or the other?
Callahan was there. They tried to reenact the spot. They beat somebody down. It was one of the bigger Samoan guys. And they put a steel chair on his thing, and they cocked the bat back. And Eddie Edwards came out and saved him and everything. And I just was like, this is, like, the most wasted spot ever. Like,
Eddie Edwards came out?
Eddie Edwards came out.
How was he looking?
He looked okay. His eyes, but he can see and everything. It's got, like, black and blue, obviously.
I don't get... That's wrong on so many fucking levels.
I just was like, for one, if you're bringing him back, like... How do you not make that the main event?
How is it not the most important thing? Also, is it safe to bring him back?
I didn't think so. He didn't do anything. Like, he came out with a bat and everything and was like, you know.
Sure. I wouldn't want him anywhere near anything.
I wouldn't want him near Callahan because I would be afraid he's going to kill the fucking
guy.
Yeah,
I would say Eddie Edwards has to be a consummate professional. If he didn't kick the shit out of Sami Callahan for that, I don't know. Even if...
I wouldn't want to work with him again, but even, like now they're advertising a grudge match between these two. I'm like, I wouldn't want to fucking get in the ring with this idiot.
Yeah, even if you had... even if you forgave Sammy and said, that's the business, I imagine the receipt he has for Callahan is something fierce.
Like, I would too, yeah.
The amount where the other boys would go, well, nope, Callahan that one had that one coming. He got his receipt, like...
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So even if they're fine as people, you know, if they're doing things the old school way in the locker room, which I hope kind of hope they are, you know, that, Sami Callihan has to know he's going to get his ass kicked here soon.
Absolutely. But they were definitely trying to work the spot here. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
They legitimately were trying to reenact it. And I'm just like, oh, God, you guys don't. You guys just missed the fucking thing. So, EVO, everybody versus Ohio, because who's better than Ohio?
Everybody.
That's right. I am so sick of this guy. Like, get him out of the wrestling ring. I don't know anybody who should work with him. Like, I just, I'm sick of this. Like, like, this is just like the tip of the iceberg here, man. Like,
what's Allie up to? What's my girl Allie doing?
Allie is still champion, and she did not wrestle, but she is, I believe, gonna fight next week on Impact.
Okay, sure.
They
do these all on the same day. They probably get, they go every other with people a lot. We're like, all right,
yeah.
Like, on this like, tour show, probably, you're gonna wrestle.
She probably cut a promo for the first show, and then she probably wrestled.
Yeah, you do some off
second half. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You gotta break those up. Having a guy wrest, so if it's a, sorry, I think they do like four shows a day.
Yeah, well, in
that would be so hard to like. You'd have to wrestle four different matches every time in one day.
Yeah, that'd be a grind.
That's why I don't love like the dual tape days. Like I understand from a business aspect why it exists. It's a lot cheaper, easier to run it for a whole day and fill it for a full day than fill it four times.
From a fan perspective, though, it sucks because the crowd has definitely a definite down spot.
The crowd is tired of it. You can tell the wrestlers are still getting a little exhausted by the end of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they just make storylines so hard to follow. Like, they're not hard to follow as they're confusing, but they break up too much. Like, they don't flow nearly as nicely.
Oh, no, not at all. You could definitely tell that they needed to fill some time because they just showed an old-ass match from an old Feast or Fired match at one point in this. They've been doing this. And I'm just like, I just feel like they just didn't, they had a thing that they filmed, or maybe the Eddie Edwards thing happened, and they just, you know, were like, oh, we can't do another match after this, we need to, like, shut it down, so we'll just show a bunch of old matches.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see how they do all that editing. Just from
it
like,
was so bad.
Liking TV the way I do it, but to see how they edit, a 4 weeks of episodes, especially knowing that, like, at the end of those weeks, the wrestler may not be around anymore.
Yeah.
On Raw, let's say Stone Cold skips Raw.
Uh-huh.
Vince McMahon can write him out of next week's show
mm-hmm.
because he's quit the company.
Absolutely.
In TNA, if during day one or episode one of the 4 day tapings, or the all day tapings, the four episode tapings, if on episode one you're number one contender,
mm-hmm.
and by the time at the end of the day you're getting ready for your title shot, and then suddenly for whatever reason, before next month's tapings come up, you're not there. They can't make you champion anymore, or if you've just become champion, they have to write you out
without having a great storyline.
Yeah, no, you put yourself at a creative disadvantage that way. It's sad to say that TNA's in a place where they have to do that.
Yeah, it's really bad. Which brings me to the Austin Aries, Alberto Patron. That's his name, right? Alberto
El Patron,
El Patron or whatever.
Yeah.
That they were this was booked as an Austin Aries backstage interview, and he was sitting down with the one blonde girl that I like. I don't know her name, but
Trebuchet likes her.
I like.
Her name is
McKenzie.
I think I said that.
Yeah. I'll learn it one of these days. I swear.
They don't introduce her.
No, he meant Aries said it. He said, "Good to be here, Kenzie," or whatever.
Sure, just like when even like in backstage interviews on Raw, like they like Charlie Caruso.
Yeah,
you know who you're looking at. They throw you a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Help a Trebuchet out, man. I have very bad short term memory. I need that graphic.
If you could put her phone number on there too,
or
like,
her Twitter handle. I'm just saying.
Trebuchet wants to holler at her.
That's it. But all right, back for me being a pig. And back to the real fecal matter that is Impact Wrestling. This was, Aries was sitting down with her, and they were having an interview about his book, about how he's a vegan and everything.
Yeah.
And then Alberto comes out and interrupts her, and is just all like, oh, well, I want to have a heart-to-heart with Aries or whatever, and she leaves, eventually. And he goes, oh, I got a gift for you, and he just brings out this fucking, some wine, two glasses, and a steak that is medium rare cooked at best. Like, this is the bloodiest fucking thing I've seen.
That sounds delicious.
Like, I'm not a fan of, like, really rare things, but, like...
Sure.
But the whole angle was is that Aries was a vegan, and Alberto proceeds to just take pieces of this and stick it in his face, and then...
Is that what we're doing? Just, we're mocking vegans here?
Like, that's what we're doing.
That's... As that's a stand-up comic, that is the lowest hanging fruit to mock vegans.
Like, I was just, like... And it wasn't... You could tell this shit wasn't even cooked right, because at one point he's just chewing it, and I'm like, that's too rare. He's like, he's not gonna be able to chew through that and eat it. Like, I'm just like, this is the stupidest fucking angle. Like, I'm like, at one point he had to go... Like,
really? Yeah, that's a rare steak that you can't get. I love
it. It was really, really rare.
What would make me laugh is if they started, like, cooking it, like, way too late after the egg. It's like,
yeah,
it's not ready yet. We've got to shoot it.
That's what it's... It was just so bad.
But that sounds like such, like, shitty storytelling. It's like, Alberto El Patron is taking me a, ha-ha, he doesn't eat meat, so I'm going to give him meat.
And he goes, here, have a little piece, and it's a giant, like, hunk of meat. Like, I wouldn't fucking eat that. Like, I'm just like, this is what you're doing with your champion? Your fucking champion is getting picked on because he doesn't eat meat? This is what we're doing in 2018?
Yeah, it's bad. I don't, and there's the thing of, like, Alberto, I don't think he's there anymore as of, like, today.
I'm not sad about it.
But, like, I just can't wait to see how bad that storyline gets written out.
Yeah.
But also, it's... Oh, boy.
It was really bad, Showtime, let me tell you. And then, I thought we bottomed out there. I did.
You thought we rock bottomed.
Yeah, I'm like, we can only go up from here, right? We're gonna bring out Matt Sydal and figure out who his spiritual advisor is. Who his higher power is.
Oh, no. And here's the thing is, I think I already know what happens.
Okay.
So tell me about it.
Okay, so he comes out, and he gives his whole speech and brings him out, and all of a sudden, the commentators go, who do you think it is, Sanjay? And he goes to Josh, he goes, I don't know. And Josh goes, I gotta go. Out comes Josh Matthews as the higher power.
It was me all along, Sydal.
Yeah, pretty much, and... That I thought we bottomed out there. Wrong again.
We're making Josh Matthews a big part of our programs.
Josh Matthews is not only a commentator, he is your grand champion because Sydal just handed him the title. So that is where I stormed out of the room, and I really, really was just fucking just...
If you had tapped out there, I wouldn't...
I wanted to tap out so hard. For you. They had Feast for Fire coming up. That was the only thing that kept me going.
You mean the crowd hadn't walked out in anger when Matt Sydal handed Josh Matthews a title?
I swear to God. Like, I was gonna fucking just, like, I was like... I'm like, this is terrible. Because, like... And then it was just Sanjay Dutt in the booth for the Feast for Fire match. And I'm on your side now, Chad.
Yeah, no, Sanjay Dutt's terrible.
Holy, like, okay, I can't talk. If he's got somebody else to talk to, fine. He cannot do a one-man booth, dude.
Sanjay, most people can't do a one-man booth. In fact, when several stations wanted ECW wanted Styles to do a one-man booth, the channels laughed at it. You're not putting a one-man booth of anything on our show.
Right, yeah.
This guy can't talk to himself for 2 hours.
Even though he had done it for years and years.
People
and years.
Thought that arguably the best commentator of our generation couldn't do it. I don't think Sanjay Dutt can do it. But so that's already a bad call. And then to leave, it's not like it's JR out there calling one match by himself. He could probably hold himself up for it. He's so bad.
And Sanjay was just in the back while this whole thing was happening going, oh, I'm gonna walk out of here. I quit. And he's still on headset. He's like, oh, well, okay, Kyle, I'll stay. And then...
No emotion.
No, it was so bad. It was so just like... It was just like, okay, I'll say that.
Can we get Pope on commentary back?
I missed the Pope.
Pope is
D'Angelo De Niro, man. Please. We need that.
I think his was a money situation.
I believe that.
I don't think he was... I've said this before. Impact is weird. Because usually when you guys like leave for money situations, mm-hmm. it's because they're asking way too much for what they're worth.
Yeah.
Impact can't afford to pay mid-level indie guys anymore.
No, like, he's... I feel like the Pope wanted to be in Impact Wrestling at one point.
I think he was enjoying it there, and I think he wanted to stay.
He found a good moniker. Like, I have a Pope poster somewhere in my house.
He was actually doing the Pope thing before... He started doing the Pope thing in WWE, but never debuted as Pope.
It was, like, the ECW show that he did it on?
Yeah, they were, like, hyping him to come out, and I think either ECW shut down before he showed up, or he got fired before he showed up.
Yeah, one
of the two things were basically he had that they were hyping him as the Pope. No one even really knew what that meant at the time.
Right. No, I wasn't a fan of the character.
The vignettes were going, and then he was out, and then he kind of came to TNA, and I like it.
He seemed like a Godfather with a different twist.
Yeah, he was a good commentator too. He wasn't the best, but he was.
He wasn't the best, but he's not Josh Matthews or Sanjay Dutt awful.
I used to believe.
I know I was defending Josh Matthews last week. Fuck that shit. I am fucking.
I'm glad you've come over.
So just fucking ugh. I'm over on this side of the line now.
I used to think...
Impact Wrestling, cross the line. If you need some commentators, come over here and fucking pay me fucking $8. I'll do it.
Say it, don't spray it, my friend.
I'm sorry. I'm very, very passionate about fucking wrestling commentators being
bad. I used to think that play-by-play commentary and, like, commentating in general needed to be involved, but it didn't need to be great. I was fine with WWE's lackluster ones because you tune them out okay, and when you need to hear something, they say it.
Yeah.
There's nothing to write home about. I never knew that such bad commentary could kill an entire show. Like, I feel like you could put on a good match... So I would wager a couple of the X Division matches we've seen that I haven't been impressed with.
Yeah.
I would imagine that JR was calling those matches to put them over. I might enjoy that match quite a bit more.
That is a good point. You can't get your head in that product.
And I guess having seen lackluster, but certainly not the worst commentary for a while, I thought commentary was kind of unimportant. And now I'm hearing what this mess is being called commentary.
Yeah, I feel like...
And it's really affecting me. So you've seen a few weeks. Do you agree that, like, it's hard to get into that product because the commentary is just so grating?
It at this point, it's really bad. And now they're trying to produce this infighting between Sanjay and Josh Matthews.
Yeah.
And, like they brought Josh back for the Feast or Fired thing. And he goes, well, can you be unbiased now that you're, like, Seidel's guy? And he's all like, well, I'll be unbiased as long as I'm not calling a Seidel match. How about that? And he goes, okay, but I... Sanjay goes, I'm going to tell Kyle to cut your headset off if you ever step out of line. And I'm so like, really?
Yeah, because Josh Matthews...
You're going to tattle on him?
Josh Matthews, he's not the authority figure, but he's like, he has like a more...
Yeah.
More to say there. I have to warn you, this heel thing's going to go for a bit. Like, you know, we've mentioned that Josh Matthews is a shitty heel in the past? He's going to be a heel for a little bit.
He's going to be like the ultimate heel here is what they're trying to make him.
And they're going to turn him into the, like, Michael Cole as a commentator. That level of heat.
Ugh,
remember when he was a heel and he had the coal mine?
I love the coal mine. Everybody wanted to punch the shit out of him.
Yeah, no, they had a problem. Well, the people would hit that coal mine.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, no, he had crazy heat. Because I think Brock Lesnar fucked him up that time.
Was it Brock?
Him and Lawler were brawling for a long time.
He
hadn't started a feud with King yet. I think Brock Lesnar has, like, first or second night back, like, F5 Michael Cole or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, this isn't safe anymore, so I need this little booth.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my least favorite part of WWE commentating I've ever had, was when Michael Cole was just picking fights with everybody.
It was so... Oh, my God. It was...
He used to call Daniel Bryan a virgin.
It was done to death. It was just so, like, groan. Like, this guy's just being an ass to be an ass. That's the way it came across, you know?
Yeah.
But that was right around the time that they were trying to switch over to the PG era, too, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were really trying to feel out what worked and what didn't at that time. There was a lot of experimentation happened back in that era, is the way I feel.
Yeah, I think they had known that Michael Cole got heat for a while, because he's kind of an annoying guy.
He's a naturally annoying guy.
Michael Cole is a, wait for it, nerd! Oh, I've missed that. Jason Jordan, get well soon.
Get well soon, Jason Jordan, you nerd.
That's right. no, like, they knew Michael Cole got heat.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, what if we just, like, made him earn the heat they give? It was the same thing if Tony Chimble turned heel. Like, that same father. People pick on this guy, so let's make him mean.
Exactly.
But Michael Cole isn't likable as a face announcer. He's less likable as a heel. I told myself that when Michael Cole commentates. So, like, at least he's not playing a heel right now. Like, he may be bland, but at least he's not annoying.
Right. But yeah, man, that was just like, holy cow. Abyss is back, by the way.
Oh, Abyss is back. I didn't know.
The Sinister Minister is back.
Brought him out.
He got in the face of two guys that I don't know who they were. One guy had a bunch of, like, eyeliner on, and then he had the big Samoan one.
Jimmy Jacobs and Kongo Kong.
Those guys, yeah. So now we got Monsters Ball next week. That's the one thing I want to see next week, so I will watch it.
Monsters Ball, so when was the last time you saw a Monsters Ball match?
It's been probably 5 years.
You remember the backstory they used to do for them? And now it's just like an Extreme Rules False Count Anywhere weapons match.
Yeah.
You know the story? You remember the story?
I remember Broken Glass at one point.
The original stipulation for Monsters Ball was that they would lock you in solitary confinement for 24 hours without food or water.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to come out and fight immediately. I thought that was the craziest.
I think that is a great angle that worked back then. Because
so now, Monsters Ball is just Extreme Rules.
Extreme Rules. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But the rules variant would be the same as an Extreme Rules match in WWE. Yeah. But that used to have that cool, like, super metal setup where, like, all right, Jeff Hardy and Abyss are going to go in Monsters Ball. All right, we got to lock him up for 24 and they
would
hours.
I remember very specifically, it was like a pay-per-view or something. They would show, like, them in their room, like, we're about to let them out and everything. Yeah. Like, they really built it. Like, I loved it back then. That was great stuff.
Yeah,
like, the storytelling was better.
It'd probably be a little campy today, but it felt right at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
It made TNA feel different.
It was great. But the people that should have been in Feast or Fire, Sanjay and Josh Matthews, let me tell you.
Yeah. So you don't know, you did not see what the briefcases are.
The briefcases did not get opened on this episode of Impact. Okay. They're going to wait.
Who won, by the way?
EC3 got one.
EC3.
Petey Williams got one.
Little Petey Pump.
Who was probably going to get the X Division one. Moose got one.
Go Moose.
Moose. And then Eli Drake got the other one.
Eli Drake.
Ugh. Who I consider the Blandy Orton of Impact Wrestling.
I like him on the mic.
I do, I'm not a fan.
But, you know, his in-ring stuff is nothing.
Oh, man, he destroyed a phone on Impact this week. Oh boy. He fired some guy named Chris and threw a phone.
Chris, we could use an assistant here at the Undisputed Podcast of the World. Call us.
Yeah, we got $8. We'll probably pay you more.
Yeah,
probably double your salary.
I mean, we can be assholes, but we're not Eli Drake.
Mm-mm. That's fair. Like I said, Pete's probably got the X Division. EC3's gone.
Spoiler alert, EC3 showed up in NXT a while back.
I'm assuming Eli Drake's going to get the world championship, and they're going to give Moose a tag team partner.
Sounds right.
Is what I'm assuming is going to happen here.
So I don't see a lot of Moose. You like Moose?
I like Moose from what I've seen in Ring of Honor, but I've not seen a lot of him in Impact.
Is he like a Lashley, like run him over type, or? Because I know he's a big boy.
No, he's a big boy. I'm trying to think of somebody he reminds me of. He's kind of like a Titus O'Neil.
Okay, he's a powerhouse.
Yeah. Okay. He's very. He had an undefeated streak going for a while. I think it was Ring of Honor or something like that. They had me over. People go, Moose with their arms, and arm things are very over. Like, Moose. Moose. And I'm like, oh, I want to do that. I want to go to that place and do the arm thing with these people.
That seems like a genuine thought. Man, if I could just go there and do the arm thing with everybody, it'd be great.
It'd be a great time.
But, I look forward to seeing him. I've heard he's pretty okay.
He's good. He's good from what I've seen. Like, I've seen him wrestle 5 or 6 times, like, in matches. Like, probably more than that, if you can count all the backstage stuff I've seen him do.
And Petey Williams is, he took a big break from wrestling for a while, but he's back and doing pretty well. He had a bad neck injury.
I believe that. I believe that. He wrestles in that high-flying style.
Yeah, like, he's pretty great. I love that move.
He did the Canadian Destroyer.
I hate what they've done to it.
I hate what they've done to it, too. I hate it. They prostituted it. It's essentially just used up and by everybody.
My favorite story is when he's wrestling Scott Steiner, and Scott Steiner tells me he wants to take the Canadian Destroyer. He's
my God.
Scott, can you do the Canadians? Do you realize you do all the work for that movie?
Yeah, I'm
not doing anything.
I'm like, please don't. Scott Steiner will kill somebody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, that was Impact Wrestling this week, and oh boy. So you missed so much and nothing at the same time, Chad. That is the way I will describe Impact Wrestling from now on, so...
Yeah, no, I feel like I got that same feeling from the episode I watched. The one, particularly when we watched together, was like, there's a lot has happened. None of it seems noteworthy at all. Like, I feel like I could tune in next week, having not seen this week, and I could get caught up in 30 seconds, and nothing would have mattered.
Yeah, yeah, like, and there's missed opportunities there. Like, they have talent, they just, it just seems like it's a mess, like...
So it sounds like Josh Matthews is going to get knee-deep in his heel role, and if you want me to take Impact next week, I'll take Impact.
It doesn't matter. I'm going to watch the Monsters Ball match either way.
Oh, no, that's fair.
I'm a fan of Abyss.
I like that A-Train was, like, super into the idea of watching it, and, like, we... He just was like, nah, I'm going to sleep.
Tapped out.
I'm going to sleep rather than...
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's
I knew he was smarter than us.
God damn it. I knew...
I don't know,
he was part of this podcast for a reason. I didn't realize he was the brains behind the operation.
He's probably right. Bobby Roode is probably the best.
He probably is the best.
He should be number one on our brackets. We should probably won't be covering the brackets too much because Chris Godard, our math man, isn't here.
Yeah, our stats guy is currently mourning the loss of his Michigan State Spartans, but he'll be back next week.
R.I.P.
Yeah, though they're lost in the tournament because it's March here, and you know.
I imagine your dad had a similar reaction to what Chris's was.
Yeah, that's fair. But he does that for all sports. It doesn't matter the team.
Thoughts and prayers to Chris Godin.
Thoughts and prayers.
But on the topic of Christopher Godin,
yes,
he needs to know that I want my belt back.
That's right. Yeah, we need to talk about this for 1 second here. Go ahead, Showtime.
I was screwed out of my title.
I was screwed out of the title as well.
We had a four-way tie
at
the end of the night.
Yes, we did.
I believe that a champion should not lose his title in an event of a tie, nor was I given the opportunity to change the game we'd play. Now, granted, I thought I could smoke you at Mean Bean Machine. I was wrong.
You were wrong. Yes.
I was wrong.
Yes. Who proceeded to lay the smackdown on you, Showtime? Who was that?
Some white guy
with dreadlocks.
I forget.
I want to say catapult something. I don't
know. Catapult.
Catapult
He
something.
Sometimes works at Tip Top.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that.
Yeah, that's
But, Chris Goad, I am coming for you. At Mania, I will be champion again.
Yes.
Two-time champion, Chad Showtime Schultz. And soon, I'm going to be funniest person in GR as
yes,
well.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to have a lot of belts.
That's right. He's going to be pointing at a Dr. Grin sign like it's WrestleMania. Y'all don't know, but you will soon. You will very soon. But no, I'm playing the part of Stone Cold Steve Austin in the first ever Undisputed Championship match was me, Trebuchet, coming out, winning the first fall, and proceeding to lose the second fall in Mean Bean Machine to one Cody Jericho. I don't know. Just throwing out
Hulk joking.
Fucking Fatty Mercury, all of them.
Fatty Mercury. Chris, you know, that was my favorite. I'm just talking to him because I know he's like one of the three
you know
people
he's listening.
Listens to this.
shout out to the Bruiser, by the way. Three claps for her. One, two, three.
I'm no video game expert, but I think you and Chris had a fantastic, like, three games of Mean Bean Machine.
Yeah, I won the first fall.
Ours were pretty good, but you could tell by the end of it, it was going too fast for me to, like, even do anything with, so you had it locked up. You and his were nail biters until, like, the last
second. Oh, yeah, I thought I had it Showtime. I did, because, like,
we
went to the third fall. I beat him clean the first fall, and I'm like, okay, I got this. And then the second... like, match, I had, like, because the way Bean Machine works is if your beans get stacked all the way up to the top, you lose.
Yeah.
I had him 3/4 of the way up, and at that point, I'm just like, all right, just need to get some more down here.
Yeah,
and
he dug his way out. He hit the five moves of doom on
him. Yeah, and Fatality, Trebuchet lost that match, and then I thought I had him the second time, and no. Same result.
So, our pay-per-view parties are pretty great. And
we're pretty lit, man.
We're going to be having somewhat of a rage here for WrestleMania.
WrestleMania, I think we're going to need to have, like, EMTs on standby over here.
Yeah,
like,
Bacon Night, and we're doing a...
Bacon Fest?
Isn't there going to be in full effect?
There
will be Four Loko in the house.
Four Lokos. There's currently, like, two at my house. I think A-Train brought them over or something.
When he buries himself alive in Four Loko cans, I will feel very guilty.
Yeah,
he had never had one until he met me.
Oh Lord!
And now I think he likes them more than I do.
Oh man, I can't party like you guys, man. I'm like fucking. I'm just like, give me a Steve Weiser.
No,
we're gonna have ourselves a hurricane party based on what I heard, and that's like rum. And
a couple kinds of rum and, like, fruit punch, yeah.
The only thing I hope is that I hope that I don't black out before the end of WrestleMania like I did last year.
How did that go for you last year? I don't know you.
Okay, last year, I've covered this on the show before, but we'll go over this again because it's a fun story.
Yeah, and I've never heard it.
Yeah, no, I made it to the Stephanie McMahon-Helmsley going through the table.
Okay.
That's as far as I made it. And
she blacked out at the same time you did.
Yeah, pretty much. I was on the Stephanie McMahon.
She went through a table. You went through your kitchen table. Like.
Yep, it was over. At one point, I'm just spooning with my trash can, apologizing to everybody around me, like, I'm sorry. Thanks for coming out.
Trebuchet is spooning with a trash can.
Yeah,
it sounds like ska lyrics.
I hope to be immortalized in ska music someday.
It could happen for you, man.
I can't wait. I did get called a local legend today, though, so that's one for the...
Three claps or trebuchet. Yeah.
The local legend of the Undisputed the local podcast legend. Of the world.
I want to be the people's champion in Grand Rapids. You can be the local legend in Grand
bang,
Rapids.
Bang, bang! I will do that. That's fucking awesome. But, yeah, so this WrestleMania, like, please... Send thoughts and prayers our way, because we're going to need them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am definitely taking that Monday
off. Donate to your local blood bank. Sign your organ donor cards. We're going to need some fresh liver.
Also, donate to my GoFundMe, speaking of that. I'm trying to be your next NWA champion.
He's trying so
hard. Check this out, man. AJ Styles, Jeff Jarrett. Trebuchet, how good does that sound together? That's just rare company.
I mean, one of those guys can't wrestle at all.
Yeah.
There's you and Styles.
Oh, yeah. What a slap nut.
Yeah, slappy. Yeah.
But no, like, seriously, donate. You can find that at Trebuchet LOL. There's a link to that out there. I want to be your next NWA champion because I want to bring greatness back to championships because we all know Josh Matthews ain't doing it out there on Impact Wrestling.
Congratulations to our new grand champion, Josh.
Oh, my God. I knew that championship was a joke to begin with, but they just fucking Dave Arquette'd it all in one swoop here, man. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, if that's bad news. Like, if today would be the worst day ever if it wasn't already Rusev.
No,
if
like,
it,
yeah.
If it wasn't Rusev Day, it'd be the worst day
I know, thank God. Happy Rusev it's Day,
happy
by the
Rusev
way, Chad.
Day.
Yes.
No one's here to do the Lana chant with you. It's just you and me this time.
Lana is the best. Lana number one.
She sucks.
Oh, okay. I see how it's going. That's fine. We'll try it again next week.
Do you have any idea about the Mixed Mass Challenge?
Yes, I do. I watched it. Ravishing Rusev Day is out.
Yeah.
Robe Warriors moved on, and they're smitten a little bit based on what
they've got some chemistry going on. But
next week, I'm still Mr. Perfect, by the way. Still running with the Kurt Hennig. Still got the perfect bracket intact.
Is anyone else perfect other than you at this point?
I'm not sure. I'm not.
He knows he's on.
I know where I'm at, and I will get an update later this week, and I'll tweet it out.
Yeah,
I will tweet it out.
You are definitely the ego of this podcast.
Me, never. I've never said a word about trebuchet.
Is that why
I've
never seen any brown M&Ms at your house?
Yeah, that's why.
He's a total diva. Should see him on E.
Oh my God, you should see my dressing rooms. They get so fucking. I will walk out of a place if it's not up to my standards.
Yeah, because you set the fire alarm off.
That's right. We need the smoke ventilators in there, man. Anyways, but if you want to book me, direct message me at TrebuchetLOL. But what was I talking about here, besides me being a diva?
We're talking about Mixed Match Challenge.
Mixed Match Challenge. Robe Warriors moving on. I'm perfect. Oh, I am very not confident in my bracket staying perfect, though, because I need Team Ginger Snaps to win the fan vote. Mm. Snap, 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 by the way, everybody.
I think I'm on them as well for this.
You got
I don't
them
call
too?
Them Team Ginger...
That's what they call themselves. I roll with
the one time Vince lets people call themselves what they want, and they call themselves the Ginger Snaps.
But, yeah, like, it... It was interesting. They gave a promo saying why you should, like, pick them. And Becky was all like, I don't know if I want to do this based on you just beating the crap out of Shane McMahon. And then at the end of it, he got her snapping and everything. Sami Zayn turned her. It was great.
So, who else is eligible for it?
Ravishing Rusev Day. And they are putting in work,
by the way. So that's the thing. So you and I both have Ginger Snaps. If we lose to anybody in that, it'll be them.
It's going
to
be them. Glow-ish is in it, because they lost, right?
Yeah, I don't think they'll win.
They may, but they're a long shot.
They're the number two contender.
Goldust, Mandy Rose.
Yeah, they're not going to do it.
You don't think so? Who else we got? Sasha Banks, Finn Balor, Nakamura, and Natalya.
If it wasn't Natalya, if it was somebody other than her, I'd say that they would be a contender.
I would too. I don't like the chemistry between those two. I think they work good together.
I think they threw her out there to like drag her down. She's an alright wrestler, but she is not very charismatic.
And who's Alicia Fox or somebody?
No, Alicia Fox was in Mandy Rose's spot.
Okay.
There's the New Day.
Oh yeah, Carmella. Yeah.
Which one did she tag with? Do you remember?
Big E.
It was Big E. Okay.
Yeah.
And then isn't there one more? Bailey and Elias.
Oh yeah, they were alright. They didn't have. They were.
I thought Bailey was kind of cute with it, like carrying her guitar around.
I'm
like
a
that.
Big fan of Bailey.
I think she's. So have you run into her yet in NXT?
some of her matches.
Okay,
yeah.
she has a fantastic run in there. Once like the four horsewomen, you know, put themselves out there.
Right now, Charlotte's tagging with Sasha Banks, and they're carrying around a Summer Rae like cutout.
BFFs. Yeah, they break out. They break out here.
Yeah, I'm expecting Sasha's hair to change colors here coming up. I'm expecting
hers. That takes a minute. She still does like the gold brown thing for a while.
Oh, that's cool.
But she doesn't.
So I'm wrong on this because I've been predicting her hair was gonna change a long time ago. Like when it first started, I'm like, oh, it's gonna happen.
No, she looks.
She's
that way
here.
Though.
It's gonna go.
She doesn't start doing the boss thing until much later.
I'm like, that hair's going magenta, man. Like,
yeah, that's a good look for her.
It is. No, it's a good look.
Is Becky Lynch even there yet?
No Becky yet.
No Becky yet.
No Becky yet.
She kind of comes in. You don't really think she's much when she comes in. Like, they don't. You wouldn't think of the other three. You would think, yeah, they're probably gonna go somewhere.
By the way,
they're being booked.
Yeah, yeah.
Becky kind of came in and was kind of nondescript. She didn't have like the orange hair. She kind of like a redhead.
Yeah,
she looked very generic.
I've seen it was like her birthday or something. There was a bunch of stuff on Becky Lynch. I saw footage from her first match.
Kind of was like Sasha's like follower too. So Sasha kind of outshined her personality real bad.
Yeah. Okay.
But I would say Becky Lynch is one of my more like. Not improved isn't the right word because she doesn't being in the ring, but I didn't think she'd get over the way she has. She is a shining example of the
shining NXT, star breaking the through the glass ceiling, if you will.
Well, for women, but also for like the NXT program, we've talked about how they're like hemorrhaging money. The idea is like you're making huge stars out of NXT.
Yeah,
out of someone that probably wouldn't have been a huge star if we just threw them on the main roster the way we
used
to.
No, I don't.
And Becky Lynch is a great like example of someone that probably wouldn't have made it. Had she gone through the old system, she was great in the ring, but she didn't...
Tailor-made for NXT. She was perfect NXT
She
superstar.
Needed to be taken from the indie style to the WWE style, and the best in-between we've seen for that is NXT.
I'm a fan of what I've seen so far, and I hear good things are coming up in the future, too, so keep up the good work with that from that front there, guys. And then, the one more thing. The Bludgeon Brothers fought... Big E and one of the Usos.
I want to say it's Jimmy.
I want to say it was
Jimmy. Yeah, because everyone else is like hospitalized.
Yeah,
right?
They got bludgeoned during Fastlane,
I fucked those guys up.
They hit them with the hammers, and they laid these two guys out again. And,
I like the chemistry of those two working together. Like, yeah, like we don't like each other, but we got enough respect for each other.
It's
a team, and our respective teams
brings
are
brings me back
are,
to my point from the whole
dead.
From the whole thing. The tag team division's an afterthought. I didn't think until right now to even think about the tag division. Talked about Mixed Match, I talked about Impact, I talked about Sami Zayn, talked about everything, and now I'm like, oh yeah, the Bludgeon Brothers beat down people. Like, who are the tag champs? The Usos, both of them weren't even on the same show.
It's funny because I think I agree completely that the tag team division is an afterthought.
Yeah.
But I still think those athletes are putting forth something phenomenal for being the afterthought it is. I think WWE cares.
Well, it's nothing against the athletes as far as
I think WWE
saying.
Cares as little about the tag team division as it ever has.
I feel
but
that
for
way.
Some reason lately, it's putting out better quality matches and storylines than it has in a long time either.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would not be surprised to see a tag team division renaissance coming soon. It's worked well in NXT,
and
the guys on the main roster in WWE are getting it over. They're telling good stories.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised. So we've seen a cruiserweight tournament on the network. We've seen a women's tournament on the network. I would not be surprised to see a tag team tournament from around the world. Tag teams from all around the world, from the Indies, from other countries, on a WWE network.
Well, that's just the thing. You could even bring up cruiserweights or UK guys.
Yeah, they did the UK guys, and they brought in guys from other tournaments or other federations, promotions. If they were to do that with a tag team match, that gives twice the opportunities for teams to be showcased.
Yeah.
Because those tournaments have led to a lot of guys getting signed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be fantastic. I'm more into tag team wrestling.
I love tag team wrestling. I love it.
It's got that extra bit of chemistry to it.
It's cool to see how they do moves. Like I remember when Team 3D was coming out, when I saw the Deadly Death Drop, I'm like, that's awesome. That's like a devastating move, you know?
Yeah. What's your opinion on the Ascension?
I like the Ascension. Like, I thought it was stupid when they were mimicking the LOD bunch. But, like, they have personality, those guys.
Are they still employed?
I think they're still doing stuff with the Fashion Police, I think.
I haven't seen them do anything with the Fashion Police.
It's been a minute. But, I think they're on the roster, but they're an afterthought, like I said.
So they're... they're like the opposite example of like, NXT had something pretty great down there, and they put them up on Raw and
did nothing with them.
Complete disaster.
Oh, it was. They don't know how to use those guys, and like, it's terrible. Like, Raw is a 3-hour show. You can fit tag teams on there. Mm-hmm. Like,
you just put some of the drama of the top cards into the tag team titles. The tag titles need to be presented as just as important as the other titles. And I don't think anybody reasonable would say that it's felt that way in a long time.
It's not.
I can only say is that they've made a lot of steps forward to making the women's title feel like a real world title.
Oh, definitely.
Just with the main.
The women's title is definitely elevated.
And I think they can do that with the tag. I think they can do that with the tag titles.
The tag titles were there back, like when you had Edge and Christian and you had the Dudleys and the Hardys.
Yeah.
They elevated that game.
Kane and Undertaker, like your main event guys, would be tag.
The tag division, I would argue, was better than the singles competition during that time. The matches were better. Yeah.
Cornette talks about this one point because people asked him the same question. Why does Vince hate tag teams? He said Vince somewhere along the line decided that if you're a singles guy and you're with a tag team partner, the tag team should be better than you. If you're just a dude who tags with a guy he kind of knows, you should lose to the tag team because they're a better team.
Exactly.
That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So, somewhere along the line, Vince decided that if you're a tag team, you should always lose singles matches to the singles wrestler because they're better than you at it. And that's why tag teams do so many jobs and why they don't get over singularly, because the Hardys are getting into that. It's like, they were really over as a tag team, but whenever they... Up until Hardy went over the top.
Even Edge. Like, it took Edge forever to get over.
For some reason, when you were by yourself, you didn't get the same push you had as a tag team.
Yeah.
And that sometimes guys are such good singles wrestlers that putting them in a tag team, they wouldn't be wrestling half the time.
Yeah.
It's like a waste.
Yeah.
I just can't. I can't agree with those psychological mentalities.
I don't either. No, I don't like that at all because, like, it just gives other elements, you know? Like, even if you're not, like, in the match, like, look what the New Day does. They got Xavier Woods outside playing the trombone. Like, that's entertaining still. Like,
yeah, they were the first 3-person tag team I'd seen in a while.
It's been a very long time.
One of the members wasn't, like, a main eventer. Like, they're completely devoted to their tag team. And, like, they invoked the Freebird rule.
Yeah, absolutely.
They haven't done that in a long time.
I like that. I thought that was good for the business. But,
so how about 3 claps for tag team wrestling?
Yeah, 3 claps. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Yes, I hope it's not over for them. But, like, if it's going to be so saturated like this with this limited tag teams, just give me one tag team championship belt. I don't need one on Raw, one on SmackDown. I wouldn't be completely upset if they did that.
So my thing is with that is if we had an undisputed title where it was both the world title on Raw and SmackDown and a women's title that was both on Raw and SmackDown, I would say a tag team title makes sense too.
Since the shows are separate,
either all titles should be separate or all titles should be together. Or at least the world title can be the same, everything else can be separate.
Yeah.
But having a world title that is not shared and a shared championship other than that, it doesn't mesh nicely with me.
I understand where you're coming from. I just feel like there's not enough teams. Like, I feel like we're seeing the same 3 teams fight for the SmackDown championships.
I think we just need other guys. There are other teams that just don't get pushed. We're still led to believe that the Fashion Police aren't title worthy. That's why I was pumped for Shelton Gable kind of getting big. It's like, they weren't the tag title worthy team.
They kind of stomped them out.
Yeah, they've started to get over, and then they kind of just, pushed them right back. And they're getting ready for the Bludgeon Brothers.
They're pushing the Bludgeon Brothers, and I'm just like, ugh.
I don't love them as a team, but I love that music.
Love the music, but yeah, that's a whole other thing. Matt Hardy's fucking woken, and he's challenging Bray Wyatt this Monday coming up, by the way.
I think we should save this for next episode.
I'm just saying that's happening.
Okay, yeah. I think we should talk about, like, the final deletion match. We should watch the other
Bruiser
deletion.
The Bruiser specifically texted me that I need to watch the last deletion of Brother Nero. I've not seen it.
Have you seen any of the other deletions?
I've seen, like, one snippet of it.
Here's what we should do.
Okay.
To be clear, Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt are going to have a final deletion. It's called Ultimate Deletion.
Ultimate Deletion, I think is what they called it, yes.
They're going to do that and probably lead into something before Mania. We should watch the deletion matches because I want to see what you think. I've seen one of them.
You want to do a commentary on one of them? Because I know we needed like one more commentary match. We can do one for deletion. That'll be our first one we do.
Deal.
Yep, put that on the list, and we will do that.
But we should watch those, because I want to see what you think of them. Mm-hmm. I have an opinion on them already.
Okay.
But they are very different. Good. So WWE's going to try to have something like it. So that's going to be an interesting feud. But yeah, let's do that for maybe next week.
Yeah, so tune in next week, everybody, and see our thoughts on...
deletion.
Woken Matt Hardy. Delete. 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 Delete.
Arm things.
So I think that brings us to final thoughts showtime.
My final thoughts are, I'm looking forward to, WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to continuing the podcast. This has been great. I hope you guys like this. I think we've done well on the two-man booth here.
I think we've covered some very heavy things.
Two-man podcasts are not easy when you don't have a lot of preparation the way we do.
No.
I think we kicked the shit out of this. I think tribute time.
I believe we stomped this mud hole dry here is what we did.
I believe we have. I believe that you and I could be the rockers of podcasting. But again, I am still Shawn Michaels, and I will put you through that window.
I will rock the Marty Jannetty as long as I can. I don't care. I will rock that mullet. Don't you fucking tempt me.
But it's gonna be an exciting time. Road to WrestleMania, pick it up. Next up, are they not doing a roadblock like thing this year? Are they?
No, we are just Raws and SmackDowns until WrestleMania, as far as I know. So
it's all build. Final thoughts, Trebuchet.
My final thoughts are please hire me, Impact Wrestling, for your commentating team. Me, Tribute Time will do it so much more justice.
We would love to.
And Sanjay Dutt and Josh Matthews.
They can probably pay us a lot less, too. I imagine our asking prices are much, much less than
I believe that they would be getting a good deal.
Champion Sanjay Dutt.
Yeah, future NWA champion here. Like, future funniest person in Grand Rapids to my right over here. Like, that the accolades there alone, like, should get butts and seats. But if not that, the living legend himself, myself... And also, the one, the only Showtime over here, just fucking rocking the house.
You should be the living legend, Trebuchet, on Twitter. You've been Master Trebuchet for a while.
Yep, I think we're going to change that over officially. My final thoughts are, I am no longer Master Trebuchet. He's
the living legend, Trebuchet.
Yes.
Trebuchet out.
Trebuchet out!